Welcome to the Marysville 3CU Church. And it's knowing here where we're at today. I don't know where you might be and where you're watching or listening from, but I hope that you're doing well. In today's message, we're going to answer the question. So from a title standpoint, it is Born Again, What's That? Born Again, What's That? And so let's turn in our Bibles to the book of John, chapter 3. Book of John, chapter 3. And we're going to read in other passages in the book of John, in the chapter 3 of John. We'll do some other reading, but we're just going to read verses 1 through 4 to start with. And then we're going to kind of talk through that. So John chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? May God has blessing to reading of his word, and let's say a brief word of prayer. Father God, I pray to the Lord that wherever this word goes out, wherever it's heard, that the Holy Spirit might be heard, not necessarily me, but that you would be heard, that our hearts would be open and receptive, and that our minds might be cleared and understanding brought, but that all might lead to a saving knowledge of you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at this historical narrative and at the start of it, it kind of lays the setting. It starts out, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. So let's talk about who that is. So Nicodemus, a Pharisee. And a Pharisee is a separatist, as it were. They're kind of set apart. They're supposed to be set apart from their sin and other kinds of things. But if you read other parts in the New Testament, you'll find that they're kind of the religious elitist. Not so much the religious elite, but the elitist. What do I mean by that? It's basically that they were on the arrogant side, maybe, or they presented themselves bigger than they were. Now, I don't know if this is the particular case with Nicodemus, but you'll find in other passages where you might hear Jesus saying, scribes, Pharisees, and then hypocrites. So they were kind of grouped in with that group, very pious in their actions, but they might say, tell great prayers in front of people, but then their actions might be someplace else, or their heart might be someplace else. So he, this Nicodemus, is one of the Pharisees, but he also was, it says here, a ruler of the Jews. Now, it doesn't say it exactly here, but we find when we look in other places in Scripture, it references that Nicodemus, the one that came to Jesus by night, as a member of the Sanhedrin. Now, who was the Sanhedrin? The Sanhedrin was the council. Sanhedrin was the religious council. And they were kind of that hierarchy and setting the rules and some of those decisions. And I don't know if they were like the Supreme Court, but you might think along that line. But remember, it's this council also that called Jesus in at night and took him through a trial. It was an illegal trial by the rules of the Sanhedrin. They violated their own rules to get rid of this Jesus that they didn't like. And they sent him off and encouraged then his crucifixion. So Nicodemus was part of this Pharisee group, this separatist group, this set-apart group, in name at least, that Jesus had some harsh words for. That particular group wasn't necessarily friends of Jesus. And then you had the Sanhedrin, this council, that later was the impetus to push for Jesus' death. And here is this Nicodemus. And he comes to Jesus at night. Came to Jesus by night. Now, some might say he was coming to Jesus at night because he didn't want anybody else to see him. Somebody else I read, well, maybe he was coming to Jesus at night because he wanted to have some private time with Jesus to get his particular questions answered. And maybe it's a little bit of both, because the nature of the questions that Nicodemus asked would require some back and forth dialogue, a little personal question. And so here is Nicodemus, this leader, coming to Jesus at night, and he says, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." So who is the we? Are there others of the Pharisees or of the Sanhedrin? That's part of the we. He was doing a general we, or they're having trouble dealing with, "We know you come from God, because if you weren't from God, then you wouldn't be able to do all the things you are doing." But this one part doesn't make any sense to us. He doesn't actually ask a question, does he? Jesus answers the question of his heart in verse 3, even though he hasn't asked the question. But you can see where Nicodemus is conflicted there. He's, "You're from God," and so Jesus portrays and continues in verse 3. Jesus answered, said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So you got this picture now. Here comes Nicodemus, this ruler. He's coming to Jesus at night to get some counsel. And Nicodemus seems to come with questions. And Jesus gives him the answer, "I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Verse 4, Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time to his mother's womb and be born?" You might have that same question. What's this born again thing? What's that? The word there that says, where Jesus says you have to be born again, if you looked at it, it would actually say, and maybe some of your Bibles might have a note in the center, "or from above," born from above. Another view of it would be that Greek word behind it means born anew. But you can see where Nicodemus was at is like, wait a minute, how do one being old go back to their mother's womb and be born again? He clearly was looking at it from the standpoint of a rebirth. And he didn't really comprehend what Jesus was talking about. What's this rebirth that you're talking about? How do I go back into my mother's womb? Is that what you're trying to tell me? And so as we look at that, Jesus then begins to answer that question. So let's look at verses 5 through 8 now. Same chapter, verses 5 through 8. Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." So let's look at Jesus' answer there. Nicodemus, again, has trouble understanding it, and Jesus explains to him, you have a spiritual birth that's different than an earthly birth. Flesh. Spirit. Spirit. Born of flesh, born of spirit. When we're born of flesh, we become part of a family. Some people are born into a loving family. Some are born into some other kind of situations. But you're born into a family. To be born into the kingdom of God, to be born into being a child of God, the family of God, requires a spiritual birth. So he's saying to Nicodemus, I'm not talking about the earthly birth. I'm talking about a spiritual birth. So when Jesus says you need to be born again, it means that you need to have another birth. But not another physical, fleshly birth, but a spiritual birth. That's basically what it means to be born again, be born anew. It is a second birth, but it's not the same as the fleshly birth. It's a spiritual birth. And Jesus continues in his answer and says, because this can kind of be maybe a little confusing. If a child is born of a physical birth, you see the child and you have some comprehension. And he talks about the wind. The wind blows where it wishes and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who's born of the Spirit. The wind. Show me the wind. You don't see the wind. You see the effects of the wind. And so as Nicodemus is contemplating this, Jesus is helping him say, you got to step outside of this natural and realize that there is the spiritual. And where's the wind? You see the effects of the wind. So it is with the Spirit. And we oftentimes in Scripture find this concept of the Spirit relating to wind. If you look, you can see where the effects of the wind are, and you can see the impact of the wind, and you can tell where the wind has been. So it is with the spiritual. You can see the effect of someone that's been born again, born anew of the Spirit. But you can't see the Spirit. You can see the effects of the change in their life, even though you can't see the Spirit. It's just like the wind. Because when the Holy Spirit comes and when we are born again, born of the Spirit, there is an impact on our life that is maybe difficult to us explain its origin. But we know it's there because we see the effect of it. And the Spirit, as Scripture says, witnesses to our spirit so that we know it is there. Just like when we see the wind, we can tell the wind blows the snow or the wind blows the leaves or the wind blows the trees. And so we know it's there. We've seen its impact. We've seen its effect, and so then is this spiritual birth that we need to have. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So let's read on verses 10 through 15. Excuse me. Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witnesses. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? He's basically telling, before we continue, he's telling Nicodemus, I'm telling you things that are spiritual, and you need to understand that what we're telling you, we've experienced, we understand. And it's almost though as he says and sets himself as a teacher, but he doesn't understand those things that are spiritual. Verse 12, if I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. In the Old Testament, there was a situation where Moses lifted up a serpent in the wilderness, put it up so they could see it to save them from a plague that was taking place. So Jesus is saying, he's really prophesying about himself, that he's to be lifted up. And that lifting up is putting it up on, like they had the serpent up, and Moses put the serpent up on a pole. Jesus is going to be lifted up and placed on the cross so that we could be delivered from the plague of sin. Verse 16. I'll read verse 15 again. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God, makes sense, so loved, makes sense, the world, that's everybody. That's everybody. Not just the Jews, but everybody, that he gave his only begotten Son. That's Jesus. That whosoever, again, that's everybody. Not just a few, but whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In this spiritual birth, we can have spiritual life that goes on for an eternity. That's the everlasting life. Everlasting life. Because our spirit, our soul will go on. Our body is what we call corruptible, decays. But our spirit goes on. And so we have the opportunity for eternal life with God through Jesus by having a spiritual birth, by being born again. And I said that whosoever believes in him, believes, and looking at the word behind that, is to be persuaded by. To place confidence in. It's not just believing that Jesus exists. It's not just believing God exists, but placing our confidence in, our faith in. And if we do that, regardless of who you are, and regardless of what family, earthly family you was born into, regardless of your past, you're part of the whosoever. And if you have turned away from God, maybe one time you were following God, and if you have turned away from God, you have the opportunity as well to get back right with God through a spiritual rebirth. To come back to him. Verse 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Sometimes we ask, what, saved from what? Well, saved from hell and saved to eternity. But see, this is where you have the born again and the saved, both in the same passage. Verse 18, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the dark, into the world, and the men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. The condemnation is in not believing, because we are all born in sin. And so we sit there in a state of needing a spiritual birth. And we are presented with this gift from God that we can have spiritual birth. And the condemnation is that we reject it. So you are accountable, having now heard that Jesus died for you, that Jesus was sent for you to believe, to respond to him. To stop walking in the darkness and come into the light. But see, coming into the light means you have to say, acknowledge something that you already know, that what you're doing is not correct. What you're doing is not the right things. And you know, if you step into the light, or if you come to a church, or if you listen to a message, you know already that something's not right. And you can't quite understand it. It's like you can't necessarily put your finger on it, but it's like the impact of the wind. But in the negative way, there's impact of a spiritual darkness in your life, and you need a spiritual birth. And you're afraid to come into light because then everybody will know. No, everybody won't know. God knows already. So you coming into the light doesn't make anything more aware to God. He already knows. It makes it more aware to you. But see, in coming to that light and putting light on it, you're going to realize, this is me. I need a spiritual birth. And fortunately, it's not just the light that leaves you in a place of despair that there's no answer. Jesus, that light, also is the answer if you trust him and believe in him for that new birth. Saying, Lord, I am sorry for my sins. I want to stop doing wrong. I want to follow you. Come and save me. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for saving my soul even now. See, in that I said both, I acknowledge that I've done wrong, and I want to change, which is repentance, and acknowledge that he's died for me, and accept the redemption on my life. You need to stop walking in the darkness. In the darkness. The answer to the guilt in your life is the forgiveness from Jesus and the healing that it brings. You need to be born again. Be born from above. Let today be your spiritual birthday. Let today be your spiritual birthday. So right where you're at, if you're driving in a car, don't bow your head, but right where you're at, where are you at? Has this message, the Word of God, shined light upon you so that you sense that there is something in you that's not right, and it's causing you to do things that you ought not? and you need a touch from God, then just bow your head or even pray if you're driving, Lord, like I prayed just a few minutes ago, I am sorry for the bad things I've done. Please forgive me. And just pray, I want to follow you. Help me to follow you. That's your repentance. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. That's acknowledging that he can save you. Come and save me. And then thank him for saving you. And then pray that in Jesus' name. It's as simple as that. And if you've done that today, send us an email at contact@Marysville3cu.org. We can celebrate with you. We can answer any questions that you might have or endeavor to with the Spirit's help. But come out of the darkness. Make that change in your life. Born again, what is it? It's being born of the Spirit. Out of the darkness into the light. Born into the family of God with the future that is forever. May the Lord bless you. May you seek him, and may you be obedient to him. Trust him.